This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer, Australia's only LGBTIQ+ national news and current affairs show. Proudly sponsored by KHQ Lawyers. Passionate about being the best.
Research consistently finds that members of our community are more likely to drink and use recreational drugs. For example, research out of Curtin University found that risk levels of drinking among lesbians was substantially higher than the general population. Almost half of all respondents to the study indicated they drank more than the National Health Medical Research Council's guidelines. The research supports other data, and for 2 years now, Thorn Harbour Health has been running a series of projects to help lesbians, gender diverse and trans women take control of their alcohol consumption. Rachel Cook is the Women's Health Project Lead from Thorn Harbour, and the Informer spoke to her about some of the programs they're running.
Initially, it came out of research done by an initial study done by Dr. Ruth McNair called the ALICE study, and also another study looking into LGBTIQ women's drinking from La Trobe. And basically, both studies found very similar statistics around the rate at which, actually, it wasn't LGBTIQ, it was LBQ women. That was what the research was around, but we have included LGBTIQ women in terms of our project. But the research did show that women in these communities were drinking at much higher rates than their heterosexual counterparts. And in fact, they had found that nearly half of the women surveyed were drinking at risky levels. Now, risky levels are deemed anything that is five drink or over in a single session. A lot of these women were drinking at five drinks or over, and some were even drinking at 11 plus drinks per session. So I guess they were pretty concerning statistics. And Vic Health, very fortunately, took these studies and said, we need to do something about this, and allocated money as part of an initiative they were running. So the initiative that they were running was called the Alcohol Culture Change Initiative, and it was looking at nine different subgroups around Victoria who had reported through research higher drinking rates. And they decided they would spend some money on putting out a project that would address these issues for LGBTIQ women in rural and regional areas in Victoria. So that's basically how it started. Then we were given some funding, and since then we've been actually working on this project. It's been sort of coming up to 2 years in October.
Do you mind? I think it'd be useful context. So what were some of those subgroups, the nine subgroups you were referring to? It'd be useful, I think, to get a bit of context on them.
Sure. It's interesting because the nine projects, we actually all work together and we meet up every couple of, three times a year at Vic Health. So some of those other subgroups, there's two groups that are looking at university students who are in their first year of university. There's another group who's looking at middle-aged blue-collar workers, male. There's another group who's looking at youth and drinking issues in regional areas, and so basically it's quite diverse, the groups. We're the only LGBTI group. I know they are looking at potentially looking at what they can do for gay men and drinking down the track, but because of this research had basically come out and around about the same time and was so similar in its results, they decided to focus on LGBTIQ women first.
And the new part of this project is that you're getting testimonials from people talking about their experiences. What's that process been like?
That's been actually a very humbling process, and I think that really started from at the beginning of the project. We actually went out and did some formative research because, as you may know, research into LGBTIQ women's health is incredibly low. There really is quite non-existent. And so even though we had that little bit of research, we needed to actually go out there and find out what was going on in these communities. And one of the things that we found was that whilst a lot of the reasons whilst these women were drinking were reasons that resonate among the broader communities, such as financial stresses, family stresses, all these types of things. One of the things that came out was isolation, and especially for women in regional and rural areas. And so we were trying to find ways to get them to speak about their experiences. And, of course, to do that, we couldn't meet up all the time and record the stories. What we did was we set up a pathway where women could actually write into us, and we began a dialogue that way. So there was, it started off with women submitting their stories via the website, and then for some of the women, it has gone on to being, you know, I guess refining those stories between myself and them via email. So it's remained pretty anonymous throughout the whole process. We also ran in Ballarat at the beginning of the project as well, a writing group, and some of the stories come out of that writing group as well, but most of them have come just via email and online. And the great thing about that is it has meant that women could remain anonymous, because that was one of the concerns that was brought up again and again in our formative research, was women not wanting to be identified as having an issue around drinking, especially in regional and rural areas. Everyone knows everyone else. So the issue of stigma was really something high on our priority that we had to keep addressing.
And in terms of beginning to actually deal with some of the root causes that drive this drinking, when you're talking about things like isolation, obviously that's quite a profound problem to deal with in a lot of ways. What do you think are kind of the next steps in terms of beginning to actually help people address these kinds of issues?
Well, one of the things that came out of this, which was great, was that in the formative research, even though that some of the women in those groups did not identify as having issues around drinking, what they did identify was ways that they could actually reach out to each other more. So we do see in social groups, like, for example, Dykes on Bikes, who are based in Geelong, but they have, like, you know, lots of members around Melbourne and around regional and rural areas. But they get out there and really market themselves as a social network, and are incredibly welcoming to getting women involved, whether they're actually, you know, you don't have to be crazy about riding, you know, a motorbike. You know, it can just be a great social group as well. And what we've seen in the last sort of year of working out in Bendigo, Ballarat and Geelong, there's a number of social groups who are really trying to meet up in ways and not around drinking as well. So I guess that's a big one, because for a lot of us in Australian culture, that's how we're socialised. We're socialised around drinking. You know, it can seem quite strange to be at an event and not have a drink in your hand. So I guess one of the conversations that's been continuing a lot, and some of the meetings that I've been to in the social events in the last year or so, they have been for sort of these catch-ups that don't include alcohol. And at first it can seem a little strange, and it's a really weird thing. But after sort of 20 minutes or so, the conversation just starts flowing anyway. And, you know, we had a lunch, actually, of all places, at Aylesford Pub. You're allowed to drink if you wanted to. You know, we're not stopping people from drinking. And one of the things around this project is it's not about abstinence. It's just about thinking about your drinking issues and how it might be standing in the way of, you know, getting in the way of some of the goals that you want to achieve, and perhaps thinking about reducing your drinking. But we had this lunch at the pub in Dalesford, and I think there was about 35 women there, and maybe about three were having an early odd drink, but majority decided not to. And the event actually went on for about an hour or so longer than it was meant to, and it was just such a great reaffirming thing that you can sit around with a group of people, more of them strangers, and have a great time without alcohol. It was actually great.
It sounds like a really wonderful initiative overall. If someone's listening to this and they have concerns about their drinking, or they want to engage with it, what's the best way for them to do that?
One of the projects that we run here is something called Drink Limits, and that's a therapeutic group run by our counsellors here at Thorn Harbour. It's a fantastic free 8-week group, and basically it looks at women who are looking at their alcohol use and anxiety. Because one of the things that we do know from drinking is that you can get into this sort of vicious cycle of, you know, drinking leading to a hangover, and hangovers can often be accompanied with anxiety, and then drinking again to try and quell the anxiety. So that group, which runs, I'm not sure when the next dates are, but if anyone is interested, they can ring us at Thorn Harbour on 9865 6700, and they will be put through to the appropriate people. So I guess that's one of the things that we're looking at, is that sort of hands-on support. And the other thing that what we want to really do is to keep encouraging that dialogue around sharing stories. So if you go to our website at rethinkthedrink.org.au, you'll be able to actually read some of those stories, decide whether you want to submit your own as well, and just reiterating again that, you know, you can remain completely anonymous. But sometimes I think just even reading other people's stories are a great way to get you to reflect on your own situation. And possibly even it's not about you, perhaps it's about your partner or a friend or a family member. So I guess the main thing for us is just getting that dialogue started and then taking it from there.
That was Rachel Cook from Thorn Harbour Health. And if you're struggling with alcohol, you can find information and support services on the Thorn Harbour website.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.